Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IDFC First Q3 FY24 earnings call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Darwin. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Q3 FY24 earnings conference call for IDFC First Bank. We have with us from the senior management, Mr. V. Vaidyanathan, Managing Director and CEO, along with the other members from the senior management team. So without further delay, I would now like to hand over the floor to the management. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everybody. This is Vaidyanathan. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. I'm Sudhanshu Jain. Thank you for joining.
Hi. This is Saptarshi Bapari. Thanks for joining.
So good evening, everybody. First of all, thank you very much for joining us on this late Saturday evening. You had many results to deal with, so thanks for joining us. The key highlights, I think, for this quarter is that we have come out with guidance 2.0. So when you think of guidance 1.0, which is what we gave at the time of the merger in December 2018, we had guided for at that point of time, we almost thought that the first year will be gone in just dealing with many matters. So we gave a guidance for 2025. So while that guidance stays, and we will still keep it on the website, and we'll track ourselves to it, you will continue to see it. In the interim, we just saw that this quarter marks exactly the end of five exact years after merger. So we've come out with the guidance 2.0. Now, when we started, when we gave the guidance of 1.0, let me just share that we really had very little visibility, very little, because merger just happened. Capital First IDFC just merged, and the deposit book was something like about retail deposit book was something like about 10,000 crore and 10,400 crore, to be precise. The loan book was something like about 104,000 crore. We had bonds and deposit bonds of about maybe 50,000 or 55,000 crore. We had wholesale deposits of about 30,000 crore. We had certificate of deposit, just two-month money, which was about 28,000 crore. So that's sort of an odd base on the deposit side. Deposit borrowing side is largely institutional. Let me call it 92% institutional. So frankly, for any management to guess how quickly we will fix this and become it, make it a retail, would have been just a good, let me say, good educated guess. Again, on the asset side, a lot of things to would have been still an uncertainty. Under those circumstances, we still came out with the guidance. And then after that, we saw COVID. We saw many things. But I'm happy to say that almost literally on every benchmark, we are coming good. On one front, probably maybe one or two elements, we are not right up there, but I think we'll get close. So we now, as we give guidance, let me just say that during this period of the last five years, the key success for the bank has been deposits. Just to share with you that the retail deposits as of 31st March 2018, 31st December 2018, was precisely 10,400 crore. Today, just five years, it is 139,431 crore. That is a growth of 129,000 crore. If you take the total deposits, we also had 29,000 crore of wholesale deposits with us. So 10,400 plus wholesale deposit of that 29,000-30,000 crore has made it 40,000 crore or 39,602 crore, to be precise. That 39,600 crore is today 176,481 crores. So that is again a good growth on deposits. So third is CASA ratio. CASA ratio now has come to about 46.8%, which is again quite strong. So let me just say that one defining factor for the last 5 years has been deposit growth period. And all of us know that deposits practically are the foundation of any bank. And this kind of deposit growth has come despite the fact that along the way, we dropped interest rates. Most people thought that we'll stay with a 6%, 7% strategy for like maybe a long time. But literally within 3 years, we dropped it. And now we pay 0 to 1 lakh. We just pay 3%, just 3. And still last quarter, we saw deposit grow by 44% YOY. 43% YOY. So I think that, frankly, once deposit is strong, we are sorted. We are sorted, I say, because the contra side is loan book. Now, the loan book, if you see, has not grown very much during this period, over the last 5 years. The loan book has grown from
1,05,000.
You know, that's...
104.
Yeah. So the loan book during the same period has grown just 1,04,000 crores to 1,89,475 crores, 5 years. So you might say that if the loan deposit grew so fast, 4.5x in 5 years, from 39,000 crores to 1,76,000 crores, then how come loan book only do this much? We all of you seasoned investors know the reason, that we slowed down loans just because we wanted to fix the CASA ratio. So basically the point is that both the, you know, the on the asset side, we have a strong, stable business model. I'm actually happy to share that our NPA now for 14th year running, meaning 14th year, I mean 14, it will become the 14th year in March of 2024. Now, 14 years is a really long time. I hope you'll all agree that our gross NPA and net NPA has been 2% and 1%. Really long time. And in this 14 years, we have broadly migrated from lending to the largely unorganized segment when we started to now we have become more like the more prime banks. Like, for example, if we give loan against property, say 8 years ago, 10 years ago, we would lend loan against property at maybe 12 or 13% because the banks were doing the prime loan against property of maybe 9.5 then. Today, we lend at 9.5 on the loan against property, and then maybe there are other NBFCs who are lending at maybe 13-14%. So we've come down the risk curve, and therefore we're feeling much more stable about our credit quality going forward. Now, the gross NPA at the end of this quarter is just about 1.5% on the retail side, retail, MSME, and rural side, 1.45%, and the net NPA is only 0.5%. So it's been a very long time to have sustained, you know, quarter on quarter, year on year for 14 years, let me say 13 years and 3 quarters to be more precise. It really gives us a lot of confidence, and now anyway, since we've come down the risk curve to become a little more more like the mainstream bank, I think this should continue now for a while. So therefore, there are three things that jump out at our last 4-5 years of work is that the deposits grew, the loan book grew, the asset quality is stable. Now, sorry, somebody is disturbing me on my mobile, so just pardon me. I'm going to just take a small disc. Yeah. Now, the second thing is that that's one part. Second part is that when we look at our bank, there's a lot of harmony within our bank. Harmony, meaning the way the bank is working, the way the system is working up and down across, up and down the chain, interdivision. There is a lot of, let me say, tranquility, and we just focus on our work. And that gives us an ability to move smoothly ahead. And, you know, this is all a lot of teamwork going on the bank. You know, today, myself, Sudhanshu, speaking to you as Saptarishi, but frankly, we're speaking on behalf of all our employees, that this success is actually comes back a while from Dr. Rajiv Lal, because I really don't want to go back in time and say this was the issue or that was the issue, because really someone worked very hard and almost against impossible odds got this bank a bank license. So let me just say the first note of thanks starts with him. It's like an impossible feat. But after that, if he had not got the license, I guess there will be no IDFC Bank today, or IDFC First Bank. And after that, it starts about how the bank is built over the last 5 years, and things have all come good. Now, basis what has happened and how the foundation is built, we are now, and also based on the momentum that we are having, we are now looking forward to how the next 5 years would look like. When you look at next 5 years, frankly, today we have a lot more visibility. I started this conversation by saying we had less visibility when we started, when we gave the guidance 1.2. But now we have far more visibility. We have a stable lending model. We know we are originating about 45,000 crores a year on deposits. And now we are trying to only extrapolate what it would take for us to, over the next 5 years. So we are now guiding that our deposit base as of December 31, 2023 is 1,76,000 crores as we spoke as the closest quarter. We believe that we will be something like about 5,85,000 crores as of 31st March 2019. Now, if you think that's a very steep climb, just remember that we came from 38,000 crores to here. Now, the other reason why we should feel reasonably confident about this is that currently our deposits are growing upward of 40. For the next 5 years, we've assumed a deposit growing only by 24.8%. We think this should be reasonably easy for us. Next is assets. On the assets front, as you know, we started with 104. Today, we are 189. Now, we are guiding that our assets will be 5 lakh crores in 31st March 2029. So, again, don't think it's too steep a jump from 1,89,000 to 5 lakh crore, because we are guiding for only a 20.3% growth 5 year CAGR. We're currently growing 24.5. 20 should be easy, should not be a problem. So, a 5 lakh crore loans and advances book, now including SLR, etc., will take us to an assets of about 7 lakh crore. Third thing is, after deposits and assets, is asset quality. Now, asset quality, today, our gross NPA is only 2.04%. But remember, this has infrastructure. Now, we know infrastructure will go away. We are bringing it down. So, if you see X infrastructure, today our gross NPA is 1.66% and our net NPA is 0.47%. The way we are trending, we are guiding for a gross NPA of 1.5% and net NPA of 0.4%. That's what we'd like to keep the bank at. Again, considering we're already 1.66, 1.5 should not be a problem. And considering we're at 0.47, maintaining 0.4 should not be a problem broadly, give or take economic conditions, another crazy COVID coming, you know, caveating, those kind of weird things happening. This should be achievable the way we're building the business. Fourth is profitability. Now, profitability, now we believe that the bank is comfortably moving towards an ROA of 1.9 to 2%. Now, if you do the maths and you multiply 1.9 or 2% on 7 lakh crore of assets, you can see that 7 lakh crore is closing number. So the average assets of 28-29 should be something like about 6.3 lakh crore. On 6.3 lakh crore, you put apply 2%, you know you're getting to about, you know, 12,500 crore. So we are thinking that our broad guess is that we could be somewhere around 12,000 to 13,000 crore in profitability in March 2029. For context, for this year, 9 months, we are like 2,230 crore. If you annualize it, you're getting something like about 3,000 crores. So we believe the 3,000 crores going to 12,500 crores should be very possible. And, you know, frankly, if you deliver the first four items, you grow the loan book to, you know, about 5 lakh crores, grow the deposits to 5,85,000 crores, the rest should fall in line because our business model is pretty straightforward. And if you maintain asset quality. Now, ROE is the last one. We've had a tough time dealing with our cost-income ratios and ROE, etc., because, you know, our cost-income was always high. We did explain to many of you that it's because of the setup stage of the bank, we have branches, this ATM network, technology, all the stuff we told you. But net-net, we are very clear, it was the setup stage of the bank, and we had to do what we had to do to build the bank for the future. So think of it like the first half, or let me say, first 5 years has gone into building the foundations of the bank. That process of laying foundation never go away because banks are forever getting built. But we believe phase two, we will be able to reap the benefit of phase one. And therefore, we are guiding for ROE of somewhere in the zone of 17-18%, give or take. So I would say that these are all in good faith because we have done our spreadsheets and we've analyzed it many times over between Sudhanshu, myself, Saptarishi, etc. But we're still saying this in good faith as results may vary. It can happen. We may have achieved, overachieved, underachieved, whatever. But hardly I'd say more than achieved in guidance one. May not be achieved in phase two. So please take all our caveats seriously. But these are being given in good faith with numbers which we believe are reasonably achievable. And frankly, for a bank starting where it was in 2018 December, in 10 years, to reach a position of 5 lakh crore of loan book and 7 lakh crore of deposits, 6 lakh crore of deposits and 12,000-13,000 crores of PAT with ROA of 1.92, PAT in ROA of 17-18 will be a solid position to be in. And more importantly, the directionally will be looking good. And other things, anyway, apart from these numbers, the bank is a good bank, really high quality bank, good customer practices, good culture, good practices, good governance, really very, 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 very good board, high quality board with high quality people. All of them have been through a lot, very sensitive to regulatory commentary and so on, and wanting to work within the guidance of the law and guidance of regulations. So that sort of, a compliant bank, I think that we are reasonably well set. So that would be a brief comment to start the discussion.
Yeah, thanks, Vidya. I'll quickly touch upon certain key numbers. I'll try to keep it short. To start with, the overall balance sheet size now is at 2.7 lakh crores and balance sheet expanded by 22% on a YOY basis. We continue to see a very strong momentum on our lending book as well as the deposit book. As Vidya mentioned, customer deposits increased by 43% on a YOY basis. It's now 1.76 lakh crores. In fact, the growth in retail deposits was higher at 47% on a YOY basis. CASA ratio also, you would have seen, has improved sequentially to 46.8%. CASA deposits increased by 29% on a YOY basis. Average current accounts have increased by 33% on a YOY basis, and while average CASA increased by 26% on a YOY basis. We also continue to see a faster growth in term deposits, which grew by 59% on a YOY basis, as customers preferred to lock in the interest rates which are prevailing in the system. The growth here also was predominantly driven by retail. Retail deposits ratio to total customer deposits continues to improve and has increased to now 79% vis-a-vis 76% at the start of the year. We have opened about 35 branches during the current quarter, thereby taking the branch count to close to 900 branches. The high-cost legacy borrowings further reduced by about 1,400 odd crores during Q3, and another 1,300 crores is scheduled for runoff in Q4 24. We have given more details around this in the presentation. Moving on to the asset side, overall funded assets grew by 24.5% on a YOY basis to reach 1.8 lakh crores. I will cover this in four segments. Retail book comprising a mortgage, vehicle portfolio, that's essentially car and two-wheelers, then consumer loans, credit card, education loan and vehicles. This portion of the book grew at 29% on a YOY basis. We have seen strong growth across all categories. Growth in certain segments like vehicles and consumer were also relatively higher on account of higher demand due to festive season and our increasing presence. Talking of credit card within retail, the bank has now issued more than 2.2 million cards. The book here almost does rupees 5,000 crores. The gross spends on credit cards increased by 61% in 9M24. Further, the SME book, which is for business purposes and the corporate segment, increased by 16% on a YOY basis. Also happy to note a report that infrastructure book is now just nearly 1.6% of the total funded assets and now below rupees 3,000 crores. Moving on to asset quality, the gross NPA of the bank further improved by 7 basis points during the current quarter and stood at 2.04%, and net NPA ratio stood stable at 0.68% during the current quarter. As Vaidya mentioned, if we exclude the infrastructure book, the GNPA improves to 1.66 and net NPA improves to 0.47. GNPA in the retail, rural and the SME segment also improved by 8 basis points to 1.45%, and the net NPA is now just at 0.51%. The overall standard restructured book continues to come down and has further reduced to 0.35% of funded assets as compared to 0.38% last quarter. More than 93% of the restructured book is secured in nature. Moving on to profitability, profit after tax for 9M FY24 increased to rupees 2232 crores versus rupees 1635 crores in 9M of last year, up by 37%. For the quarter, profit grew by 18% YOY to rupees 716 crores. This was largely driven by strong growth in core operating income. Core operating profit, which is NI plus fees excluding trading gains, for 9M FY24 grew by 35% YOY. For the quarter, it grew by 24% to rupees 1515 crores. For the quarter, NI increased by 30% on a YOY basis to rupees 4287 crores. The net interest margin improved by 10 basis points on a sequential basis to 6.42%. Fee also registered a strong growth. It increased by 32% to rupees 1469 crores for Q3 FY24, and this was largely retail-led, which is at 93% of the total fee. Operating expenses increased by 33% on a YOY basis due to strong business volumes witnessed during the quarter. I would say branch expansion and some increase in other expenses like marketing and so on. We had a trading gain of rupees 48 crores during the quarter, and provisions came in at rupees 655 crores for the quarter. The credit cost as a percentage of average funded assets for 9M FY24 stood at 1.26%, which is well below the guidance which we had given earlier. We are not impacted by the guidelines which came recently around AIF investments at all. On an annualized basis, ROA stood at 1.16% as against 1.05% in 9M23, and ROE stood at 10.7% for 9M FY24 as against 9.9% for the same period last year. The bank has maintained strong capital adequacy. The capital adequacy now stands at 16.73% at December 31st, 23, with CET ratio at 13.95%. This takes into account the capital of rupees 3,000 crores, which we mobilized in early October. We continue to maintain healthy liquidity levels, and average LCR was at 121% for Q3 FY24. We have been maintaining this on a consistent basis across quarters, if you see our previous numbers. With this, so I've covered all the facets, all the numbers, key numbers. We will be happy to take up questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ishan Agarwal from Erivna Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Would say decent but slightly underwhelming performance by the bank. So yes. I have three questions. Should I ask them together or should I shoot them one by one?
One by one is better.
Okay. So the first one being, the management has always highlighted that core total income will go faster than OPEX for 24, 25 and 26, and that is how operating leverage was going to play out. It is slightly disappointing to see OPEX here growing 33% YOY and income growing 31%. which in turn has upped our cost to income from 72.1% last year to 73.3% this year. What is really causing this pain in OPEX? What are the factors playing out, and what the management could not envisage while giving the past numbers?
Now, let's take them one by one. So thanks for that very crisp question. See, the thing is, I've always mentioned to you, I don't know, Sudhanshu may have told you again and again, that listen, please don't track us every quarter by quarter. See, we're an early stage bank. Sometimes, you know, one odd item expense catches up, some digitization expense catches up on some other product. Something happens one quarter or the other. You know, if you go, YOY, our own guess is if you take a, and all our past guesses have come right, I want to just point out one number to you, that if you take, you know, a five-year window, that is 19 to 23, 20, 21, 22, 24 years, you know, you've seen that the balance sheet has grown by 9% from the time of merger to today, 5 years actually, 9%, but PPOP has grown to 43%. So my point, and by the way, I'm not claiming it is still the 943 jaw will be that wide still, but definitely for a balance sheet loan book growing by about 20%, which we are, you know, which we guided again now, and for the operating profit to grow increase about 30 to 33%, should be the kind of zone you should look for the next 4-5 years. So, you know, really one, I told you, it's an early stage bank. Really difficult to point out, oh, this quarter this happened, that happened. It's a waste of your time and waste of
our time. Understand, but this was a YOY increase in cost to income, and that is why I highlighted this. So it's not quarter on quarter which I'm comparing. Even year on year, from 72.1, it is up to 73.3, whereas we are expecting maybe a plateauing or maybe a decline from year on. So...
I fully agree with that. I'm just pointing out to you that I say this result is a bit underwhelming actually. We should have expected to post a little better. At least at PAT level, we should have posted a bit better.
Actually, core operating, not even PAT, is not, I mean, to be some one-offs, but that is slightly underwhelming on that part.
I agree. 100% agree. Could have done a bit better, could have expected a little better. But it's, you know, like I said, we are running a long game here for 10-year game, out of which 5 we finished, maybe even longer from there, maybe many, many decades after that.
Right.
You know, just take this part of just slight moments of on people here.
So, going ahead, do you expect that cost to income should start declining from year on, or do we still expect it to keep at this level for a year or two?
Our sense is that Q3, Q4 of 25 should begin to see material movement onwards. We feel that, like I said, there are some movement, for example, some product categories, we are in next quarter onwards, maybe one or two quarters, there will be some impact because of, you know, we do the digital loans, for example. In the digital loans, you know, for a period of time, there was there was no FLDG permitted, for example. And last quarter, for example, FLDG got permitted. Now we had a certain structure with the counterparty. Now we'll move to another structure, which is FLDG. When we move to FLDG structure, the benefit of not having credit costs, because the counterparty will guarantee that FLDG, that benefit will come 2 quarters from then, meaning when the credit costs would have hit us, they would have supported us, they would have paid for it. But in the interim, the impact would be there. So I don't want to confuse all of you with all this mathematics, but the point is that our own sense is that next quarter, we'll move over to the FLDG structure. So the benefit of moving to FLDG structure will come in Q3, Q4, 25, and which will show up in credit cost line. So therefore, these movements will slightly give better benefits for us by exit quarter 25.
Okay. So now, as you mentioned about FLDG, my next question was actually regarding credit cost. While our loan book has grown by, say, 24% YOY, our provisions have grown by 45% YOY in spite of all collection efficiency numbers, SMA numbers improving YOY. So what is the reason for this?
Yeah, I said this to you earlier also. Oftentimes when you compare YOY for early stage banks, either last time there would have been something very much, remember we were running credit cost of only 1.15%.
So is there any one-off this time, or this is normalized?
Just hear me one second. So we were running really very low credit cost for a book that is giving the kind of yield and NIM it is giving us. Our credit costs are running so low. In fact, many people can use to scratch their head here. How can a credit cost be only 1.1%? It is even lower than many, you know, top banks. So, you know, we were, during post-COVID, we were getting certain recoveries. Because if you remember, during COVID, we took, we took provisions. Now, many of the recoveries started coming. So the last 2 years, we were getting the benefit of the recoveries. So some of the recoveries may also taper off. So that's why I said sometimes, you know, there might be some odd jumps here and there. Also, you know, we moved over to the 90th day recognition of NPA rather than 91st day. And that also had some impact. Think of it like here and there. But our guidance is that, let me step back for 2 minutes because, you know, this quarter had a few here and there items. Let me just step back and just give you what we see. And that is the heart of it. What we are seeing is our collection percentage, which we reported at 99.5% now for literally like 2 years at a stretch now. Last month in December, it inched up to 99.6%.
Right.
So let me call it still 99.5 for simplicity's sake. So if collection percentage stays the way it is, check amounts is very low. Let me say very low meaning very low, which is like 6 point something. So which also we are collecting during the same month in a big way. So the point is that the underlying parameters are strong, so there's no reason like fundamentally to be disturbed or anything like that. I mean, you watch out next quarter, you see the results for yourself.
Okay, okay. And one more from my end, with the new RBI norms on risk weights for unsecured credit, our Tier 1 capital adequacy is down to less than 14 in spite of the capital raise that we did last quarter, that is in October. So now, given that it is at 13.95%, when do you think we'll again have a Tier 1 capital shore up the capital adequacy?
We will watch the numbers with the way the profits emerge over the next 4 quarters and then make
because
up our mind.
We do have an idea of the capital consumption that the bank will do. So what is your target that, okay, we don't want to go below Tier 1, say 12.5 or 12% or...
No, we don't spell out precisely when you have to raise capital. You know, it's not a good strategy for any bank to exactly put out in the market and raise capital. I hope you'll agree.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll make up our mind as it goes along, depending on the numbers.
Okay. Just one more. So if I look at the cards data released by RBI, it is unusual to notice that the number of debit cards in force for IDFC in November has reduced for the first time as compared to September, which is so from 67 lakh to 66.5 lakhs. So is there some reason, were there some dormant accounts who closed or what?
Yeah, could have been some dormant account cleanup team being done by the respective teams. Otherwise, inflow, see, basically the bank is more and more moving towards quality. We are like very, very fussed about it. So we are opening lesser number of accounts than before on the bank account, especially on the digital side. But we are focusing on quality. So the inflow is very strong. That's how we saw growth of close to about 4,000 crores a month of deposits kept coming in. So let me say deposits are rising very well. That would have been some closure of some, you know, customers or inactive and those kind of respective product teams keep doing their work.
Okay, okay. Thank you and all the best. It's really commendable the way the bank is growing the deposits. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubhranshu Mishra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Two or three questions. The first one is around the personal loans. Just wanted to understand the run rate of personal loans that we originate from various fintechs and the level of FLDG that we do from these fintechs. My fair understanding is that a lot of lending partners do slightly above 5% or maybe above 5%, which is the mandated requirement of FLDG. That's the first. Second is on the vehicle finance. If we can give out the split of a car finance, new car finance and used car finance, and the outlook for the industry as such and our own growth estimates there in FY25. These are my two questions. Thanks.
We do work with fintechs broadly, but we have not exactly sat and calculated, put out how much, who's doing how much and all that. But let me say broadly, it's growing. We are very conscious that on the personal loan front, personal loan meaning and basically the unsecured personal loan given, our model is largely lending to salaried people who want to take personal credit, typically term loans. So in that model, I think things are running pretty well for us. Some originated through partners, some originated by ourselves, some originated through DSAs, et cetera, et cetera. Second question is about vehicle finance new. I'd say we have more on the used car financing side than the new car type, though we also do new cars. But, you know, new cars have no margin and it's just a waste of time and money. So we give it only to our customers who come to our branches and, you know, our base. We give new cars. With a limited capital, we might as well use it for either two-wheeler finance or for used cars. And frankly, credit quality, they're behaving so fantastic. So why waste money on the new cars?
Right. Thank you for that. If I can just squeeze in one last question in terms of fintechs, when we onboard a customer onto our balance sheet when we are taking the risk, that customer permanently becomes ours. What I mean by that is that once it's onboarded to our balance sheet, it's only we who own the customer in terms of any kind of cross-sell, upsell of credit, non-credit products, or the fintech through which it was originated can also do any kind of cross-sell, upsell as well.
Okay, this is the typical complication that happens in this industry. So typically digital partners like to also do other things with the same customer. So for example, we are very clear when you work with them that with anybody for that matter, that our bank is absolutely one condition non-negotiable for us is that we have full rights to access the customer and we will do business with the customer. It's very important to us. It's a fundamental franchise issue. Now, the same party, some party originated with a stockbroking firm which did stockbroking and by the way gave us some personal loan. Well, I'm sure they'll do other things with the same customer as well.
Understood. So the status of the customer is transient and not permanently ours. That's a fair understanding?
That's a fair understanding, yeah. But when we get our salary customers and we lend to them, we feel more in control because it's our customer, 100%. But when it's originated by a party, sometimes party also does something with the customer. Yeah, of course.
Understood. Thank you so much. I'll come back and meet you. Thanks.
Yeah, and because we should be respectful of their income and P&L also. Let them be happy. Let us be happy as long as customer is happy.
Understood. Thank you so much. I'll come back and meet you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gao Zhijuan from Schonfeld. Please go ahead.
Hey, sir. Thanks so much for the opportunity. So first question is just data keeping. Can I have the growth and the net slippage number of this quarter?
Yeah, slippage for the quarter was about 1,400 crores. If you see, it's broadly flattish as in the previous quarter. And even on the net slippage is flattish, right? It's at about 850 crores for the current quarter.
Got it. So last quarter, we talked about there's some timing issues and one-offs in last quarter slippages. So, is there any such issue that is repeating this quarter, or are we expecting, slippage to be gradually trending up from here?
No, so we feel quite comfortable, as Vaidya mentioned, that we are seeing a consistent asset quality, right? So even in this quarter, the slippages have not gone up while the book has expanded. So we feel that we should be quite okay on this front.
So why does our credit cost is trending up while if our slippage number is similar to last quarter, our credit cost should not be trending up, right? And our coverage ratio seems to be similar to last quarter. So I just want to understand that.
No, so if you see that credit cost has been, for this 9 months, has been just 1.26%, right? We had guided the market for 1.5%. Of course, we have been coming lower. This quarter, we have seen a slight jump, right? But that's a combination of your existing book where you, as the aging happens, some more provisions come in. As you rightly said, the gross slippage that has been quite stable. And other indicators also, like if you see the check bounce, right, which we have presented the data in the presentation, that it continues to be lower, right? It's at first check bounce is about 6.3%. Even the collection efficiency is quite stable, right, over the quarters in 99.6%. So the
which talks of that the incremental book which is getting built is quite pristine, right? We may have, as I said, some of these provisioning impact may come because of aging and so on. So, but we feel quite comfortable with. Yeah, I don't know if I lost you guys on at which moment, but the point which I was trying to make mention was that gross slippage and net slippage has been quite stable. If you see the asset quality indicators, right, in terms of our check bounce, right, that's down from 9.9% to 6.3%, right, over a period. And similarly, collection efficiency is quite stable for early buckets at 99.6%. So we feel quite sort of confident on the incremental assets which are getting generated. As I said, some of these provisions could come in because of aging. There could be some smaller, lesser recoveries during the quarter. So that is precisely the impact which some of that impact which has come during the current quarter. For the 9 months, if you see, the credit cost has been just 1.26%, and which is well below the guidance which we had given earlier. So we feel that things should normalize from here and should continue to stay so. Of course, we are very cautious in terms of sourcing, in terms of credit underwriting, and so on. So we'll continue to exercise prudence on this front.
Got it, sir. And second question is on the guidance. And thanks so much for the clear guidance. Just wondering, if I remember correctly, previously, we were talking about next 4 to 5 years, 35% growth is quite sustainable. So I'm just wondering, our 20% growth kind of guidance now, is it just on a conservative basis? Is there some change in strategy that we maybe focus a little bit more on the profitability side and maybe slow down growth a little bit, or is some RBI-related issue?
See, basically, when you look out, it's probably just better to be guiding at a number which you feel is reasonably safe and in the bag.
Gao, does that answer your question?
That's all. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Aggarwal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening.
One
question on CD ratio. While bank has been doing well and the CD ratio has been coming down pretty consistently every quarter, and any discussions about this with the RBI given the ongoing media reports about this, and any near-term targets therefore that you have?
So if you see that we have been bringing down the CD ratio because deposits have been growing faster, right? Of course, we had legacy problems, right? That's why our CD ratio was 137% at merger, right? If you see even into this year so far, we have brought it down from 109% to 101%, and maybe by the end of the year, we will be lower than 100. So we feel that, and even in the guidance, if you see, our deposit growth is a tad faster than the loan growth, which we are guiding. So this should keep coming down as we sort of we move along.
Okay. And second,
so I'm saying, just sorry, one data point, is the incremental CD ratio, if you see, for this year, is about 80%, and for this quarter it was just 65%. So as long as the deposits continue to come strong, right, and we feel that we should be able to improve on this ratio, we feel quite confident of bringing it down.
Okay, sure. And the second question is on the OPEX, wherein we are seeing a fair bit of an increase. So if you can provide some color as to what are the key drivers within this number, so that we can better appreciate the operating leverage that is likely to play over the coming years and from Q4 25 that you are indicating.
So Nitin, if you see that,
if it is a guidance, because you go to the specifically go to the guidance, see, for you to really appreciate where this game is headed, I read out the operating leverage numbers at a bank level that we've been seeing year on year. This year, let me say that the operating leverage has not played out that much because, this digitization expenses and technology, and we are really building the bank for the future. And that has been our consistent strategy, as you know, thus far. So therefore, we feel that from next year onwards, like we said, Q3, Q4 of 25, we should see meaningful movement. And you know, our own estimate is that the OpEx of 25, for example, should just increase by about 20%, where the loan book or the income could rise by, let me say, maybe 24%, 25% because of the reason. So we feel that in 25, we should start seeing material opening of the jaw. And again, because see, one thing you should note in the way we are running the or building out Story 2.0, that the deposit numbers we have kept very modest, the requirement. Imagine just going at 20% or 25%.
25%.
Somebody's used to going at 40%, 25% is nothing. And remember, what is something unique will play out after 26 onwards, which is 27, 28, 29. I'll tell you what is unique. Today, even when you're growing the loan book at 25% or 24.5%, bank is funding the growth of 24.5% from deposits, A, as you know, we're not borrowing anymore, funding it from deposits. Plus, we are repaying bonds pertaining to the pre-merger. So we are carrying double burden. You fund yourself and also pay the past liabilities. Now, by one and a half years from now, that lot of it would have gone away. Let me say 2 years. And then after that, you're only funding your loan growth. For somebody who's used to carrying such heavy weight, that should be pretty lightweight, actually, for us. I mean, relatively lightweight. So that is a material change coming in our life from 26 onwards, let me say 27 onwards to 2030. And we've done the math. There is a big relief in the requirement for deposits then. And actually, who knows, we might even cut deposit rates, and that might be positive for the bank.
Right.
Or we put lesser branches, you know? One of the two, if you.
Yeah. And so last question is on the guidance 2.0, where you are giving guidances on three key metrics. But when you look at the ROA of 1.9-2 by 2029, what levels of margins and cost-income ratios are you baking in?
The cost-income ratio looking like more like about 55% by the exit year 2030. That will be like maybe like 57, 58, or something like that by 2029.
Okay. And margins?
Margins, we're assuming similar stuff.
Okay. Okay. Because the earnings is like implying a 30% CAGR.
We request you to please rejoin the question queue for further questions.
Sure. I'm done. Thanks. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sameer Bhise from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to get a sense on the others portion of the loan book, which is roughly 15,000 crore and growing at a fast clip.
What others?
So this would include the digital loans portfolio, which we have. We have given in the presentation that it includes digital loans. It includes some portfolio buyout, which we have done, and some revolving credit. So that's part of the others book.
Would this portion be secured or unsecured? I mean, in entirety?
Depends on what you're buying, no? But chances are we'll be buying the secured portfolios to the extent there's buyout. And to the extent digital loans, it could be unsecured also.
Okay. This is helpful. And secondly, I think in the opening remarks, Mr. Sudhanshu said that there's no impact of the AIF guidelines on the bank. Just wanted to reconfirm.
Yeah, that's correct. We have nil impact on that count.
Okay. Great. This is helpful. And congratulations on a good quarter. Strong guidance. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sameer.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just on that guidance for FY29, what would be the normalized credit cost that we are assuming there? That's first. And secondly, what would be the losses that we are incurring currently on the credit card portfolio and on the branch liabilities piece right now?
See, everything, all products are mixed up. When we announce a bank level or a credit cost of about 1 point, you know, we guide for 1.5, 1.6, actually. we are running more like one point. But so what current numbers includes everything. We have not stepped out of the product by product. But let me just say that the for the upcoming 5 years, we have assumed a little higher credit cost than what we are currently incurring. Because there is one benefit we have been getting in our credit cost thus far. One is that I mentioned earlier, you know, during COVID, there were charge-offs, and those, obviously, recovery is happening because you may charge off a loan, but end of the cost you're collecting. So that kind of a recovery has been coming to us last 2 years. We believe that all those benefits will go away. And also, you know, we should be prepared for, you know, just for the sake of it, be prepared for a slightly higher credit cost generally in the ecosystem, nothing to do about us. So we assume a slightly higher numbers than what we currently incurring. At least we have when you're given this guidance, we've padded it up reasonably well, let's say.
Sure, sir. So this essentially means the RO expansion is predominantly driven by implementing the OPEX.
Yes.
So NIMS is flattish and credit cost would marginally go up from current levels. Okay.
Yeah.
And on that question on credit card portfolio losses that we are incurring right now and the branch expenses?
I told you, no, we are not calling out how much you lost in LAP or this or a used car. We are not giving you product by product. But broadly, we at a bank level, we are in a very, very good control. It's super low. And we, one second, just keep a phone away and come, please.
Yeah, I was trying to understand the operating losses in the credit card portfolio. Yeah. No, like we used to disclose earlier.
No. There was an interruption at my side. My apologies. My mobile phone rang. So I told you when we put out our numbers, we are finding we put our credit cost numbers at the entire retail level and the overall bank level. Because some products you have a good quarter, some products doesn't have a good quarter, some products have more slippage, something has less slippage. Something has, but you should look at a composite manner from quarter to quarter, but year to year. And that number is trending very well. You know, last year our credit cost was 116 basis points. You know, even in the month of year of COVID, just think for 2 minutes. I don't want to take you too much back in time. 21-22 was the period of COVID second wave. That is July, August, I think April, May, June of 22. Sorry, 21. And in that period, moratorium happened. Sorry, it did not happen, but lockdowns happened. So obviously Q1 was a, you know, provision was taken. But for the full year, provision to average book was only 2.51%. Just think, COVID year. So we feel that one of the best things that is happening to our bank is that even in the worst period of COVID, our credit cost average book was frankly among the best among the peers. You'd imagine for a book that is yielding a NIM of, you know, 6.3-6.5%, you'd imagine 2.5 or maybe 2% even in normal conditions. In COVID, we had only 2.51.
Right.
So and then moment COVID vanished, that is 22-23 came around to 1.17%. 22-23 is 1.17%. This is super low. So we are very confident that we're underwriting good credit, not confident, numbers are speaking for themselves. So, but we believe it cannot stay this way all the time. So we have now factored for higher numbers.
Got it, sir.
And just to add with respect to your question on a credit card, definitely economics have been improving there as we are building a more book, right? Cost to income, we had given out numbers that was 164% as of the previous year. And we expect that to come down meaningfully to around 110% for this year. And so we have been guiding that we expect credit card to sort of break even into next year and be profitable in the year to follow. So we feel that it takes some time, right? We have been just 3 years before when we had launched this product. So we feel that we are well on course on this book.
See, one thing we want to tell all of you, and we, you know, want to assure, but just to share with all of you that we have never let you down in credit cost and asset quality for like 14 years now. Anybody who's been with us in Capital First years will testify that we never had a credit problem. It's been 5 years. We haven't put one foot wrong on credit. Not one foot wrong. Every year on year, NPA is good. Year on year, credit cost is low. it's been like 14 years. Now, we obviously, you know, such a long period of time comes from a disciplined underwriting processes, continuous tightening of the norms and revising the norms, continuously staying in the cutting edge of technology, good governance in terms of the number of people who inspect a portfolio. So all these things we have no intention to relax. And we, at least while we have mentally factored for a slightly higher credit cost because we believe we should be generally pessimistic about these things, but or cautious about these things, but we have not had a problem, and we'll ensure that we'll try our best to ensure that we don't give any surprise on this front.
So just lastly to touch.
Sorry to interrupt. One of the, we request you to please rejoin the question queue for further questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Anand Bhavnani from White Oak Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the so first of all, congratulations for the strong deposit growth in such a challenging environment. A commendable job by the management. Sir, from our business model perspective, just wish to understand how much of the collections we do is outsourced.
It's increasingly becoming more and more digital and online, you know. There's a massive shift underway there. So let me say a few years ago, it was largely, the whole thing is changing. To give you one very simple idea for you to understand. Earlier, if a customer bounced a check, we'd have a call center call the customer and request the customer to pay, and some agent would go and collect the money from the customer. Now it's not like that. Now you just lot of analytics and technology that happen. Calling itself is not necessarily done by a human being. The calling will probably be done by a bot, and the bot will take some promise, and then the bot will send a link to the customer saying that, you know, you promised to pay me, here's a link for you to pay, and customer just pays from the link and the bank gets the money. So a lot of, and these are what I'm telling, sharing, this is a real situation, by the way. So bank is a very digitized bank, and we're able to do such massive progress.
Sure. I specifically want to understand the outsourced collection cost. So if I were to look at the 9-month total other operating expenses, it's around 8,200 crores. Approximately how much would be the cost we pay out of the 8,200 crore to outsource collection agencies?
Yeah, I don't think we know the number offhand, nor have we put it out. But broadly speaking, the directionally, let me tell you that we are becoming a, like the answer, previous answer holds that we're trying to become a more direct to consumer bank. But of course, we do have agents, obviously customers who don't pay through your digital methods. Someone has to visit the customer, chase them down, and follow them after PTP, after PTP, all that work goes on. And by the way, a lot of our collections in rural areas happens directly by our own employees, not even by agents. Just for information, many locations, we don't use agents in rural India. There are many products in which the early bucket collection done by employees themselves, where customers are not. So all that comes to cost of a bank.
Sure. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you,
Anand. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good evening. Thanks for the presentation and the slide on guidance.
Yeah.
I have just one question that we earlier had a guidance of, 65% cost to income by exit FY25 and 1.4-1.6% ROA by FY25. Does that still hold both these things, or how should one look at it?
See, first of all, we'll keep the slides out there so that we don't want to, because we've given guidance 2.0, we don't want to escape from our guidance up to 1.0. So just to share with you that we will be true to that guidance. We'll retain the guidance. God knows how we'll perform against it, but we'll retain the guidance for sure. We'll keep it publicly out for you till the last day. That's our commitment. Now, second part of your question about how we're going to perform against that, the cost income ratio, I think we are a little behind what we set out to do. The good news is, let me tell you one countervailing factor for being behind schedule. Supposing we are at 65 and we turn out to be 68, I'm just making up a number, but I could broadly be right. Let me put it like that. So let me just say that we are behind, to be straightforward with you. Now, how does this play out? What plays out is that income line turns out to be higher than what we guided. Remember, we guided for 5.5. Now we're delivering 6.3. So we're already delivering about 1.3% more on income. So even if your cost income is higher, your ROA may still, you get there. Are you with me on that mathematics? Ray?
Yes, yes, sir.
Therefore, the way we look at it is that, you know, composition of books change, model slightly cannot be a little different than what we initially planned, you know, that too, when we get the guidance 1.2, we have only that much visibility, all that. But broadly, give or take, we are in zone. We are going to be in zone of meeting our, you know, deposit numbers. We are in the zone of meeting our loan numbers. Our asset quality numbers, capital adequacy numbers. We are hitting all the buttons, all the marks. We may not meet, they're not, let me use a more accurate word. We don't expect to meet exactly the cost income numbers. But because of the equation I told you right now, we may still meet the ROA and the lower end of the ROE mark by that time.
Understood, sir. And sir, the ROE mark is, of course, this of course assumes capital raise at a frequent level as you would still be growing at a much faster pace. So is this ROE is a more normalized kind of an ROE estimate that one should see?
No. You'll be a little surprised about how the game will change. Because what's happening is that we believe that from 2025-26, as it is, I told you, Q3, Q4 of 25, we do expect a positive moment on cost income ratio, definitely, and improvement in ROA, ROE. Okay, just take that as our sense as of now. When you move forward into 26, now remember we are talking of a loan book of only 20%. We're talking of deposit growth of only 25%. So our need for investing OPEX is going to be much lesser than before. In the first 5 years, we were in a complete build-out stage. We had no choice. We were racing against time, back against the wall, huge amount of big deposits, corporate deposits, certificate deposits, bonds to pay back. It was really tough. It's not going to be that tough now. So our expense requirement will be lesser. So 26 over 25, that will be our expense requirement will be, the expense growth will not be very much. 27 or 26 expense ratio will be even lesser. So basically, and also by the time bonds will be paid back, need for money will be much lesser. So we feel that like I said earlier, the things will get easier for us from that point of view. And life is never easy. God knows what new problems will come. But at least this on these front of deposit raising, etc., we feel much more assured now.
Sure. Understood, sir. Thank you so much. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Shukla from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thank you for the opportunity. If I look at your sequential growth in assets or loans, it is one of the slowest in the last 8 or 10 quarters. Anything particular to read into this for the quarter?
No, we want to keep our asset growth, within a zone where our capital adequacy and our credit deposit ratios are all good. So when we have excess, we do IBPC and take them off the books. So some of the numbers we do.
If I look at it, your sequential moderation seems to be driven more by home loans and LAP rather than other products.
That's what I told you. IBPC, we do sometimes we do assignments, meaning direct assignments with other banks also. Then basically, we are clear that we don't want to grow the loan book too much even now. So we have taken out some of these loans and done IBPC, interbank participation, with other bank purchase these loans off from us.
Understood. Specifically on personal loans and credit cards, any change of strategy since RBI regulations on risk-weighted assets?
No change of strategy fundamentally. They're phenomenal, you know, they're good, they're phenomenal products in the sense that there's a real customer need. Asset quality is good. They're all cash flow analyzed. They're risk adjusted. They make good returns. And they are shareholder value accretive. Fundamentally nothing. But yes, what we have done is we increased interest rates on these products because cost of, you know, equity has gone up.
Okay, sure. Last question from me, the 25 to 20% loan growth over the next 5 years, right? 20% CAGR compared to the current growth of 25.
Correct.
Is it likely to be a step function now or more a glide path in the sense that you grow more in front end and back years as balance sheet becomes bigger, you grow slow? How should one think about it?
Yeah, as you know, when you look 5 years ahead, you can't, you know, we can't be sitting and taking judgments on these step function jumps, what happens 5 years from now. So to be more fair and reasonable, what we have done is we have just extrapolated at 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, like 5 years or stretch. Something like that. So we have not done step up, step down, we have not complicated it.
Got it. Thank you. Those are my
questions. And frankly, in this country, you see on large banks, forget our loan book is hardly anything, 1.8 to 1.9 lakh crore. You see large banks having 10 lakh crore, banks having 15 lakh, 20 lakh crore, they're all going 20%. Really, 20 is nothing, friend. 20 is nothing. It just happened. And we have to do nothing crazy for that. In fact, growing 25 with good asset quality. Imagine to grow 20, we need to, we can in fact trim some of our further cut out the edge customers and further improve asset quality. So 20 is nothing, trust me. We don't feel there's any stress at all going loan book at 20.
Sure, fair point. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raghu Garimela from Travist Capital. Please go ahead.
My question has been answered. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Jay Mundra for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Sir, just a small clarification. I think it looks a bit confusing. So just for the benefit of all, if you can clarify that, you know, what we have done is we are growing at a much faster pace at around 25. And I think that was the more or less understanding given to the participants. And now we have unveiled the new strategy, new guidance, which talks about 20% CAGR. So is this going to be the new normal, or you think because of conservatism, you know, forecasting 5 years out, you have given the 20% range? I mean, that is the clarification I think that is needed.
No, I appreciate the question. It's a very good question. It's our job to clarify this. See, this thing about 25, the current growth, it's not that tomorrow, next quarter, we're going to come to 20. It won't happen. There's no such plan that, oh my God, you have to apply brakes. There's no such need. But yeah, I mean, if you wake up in FY25 and see the book growth, then you might see that the bank's loan book growth is going only by 20. It's possible because we are planning to slow down the stuff because we feel that the pressure on the, or maybe it could be 121 or 22, somewhere in that zone, you know, I can't pinpoint to the last decimal, but somewhere in the zone, think about it like that. There's a reason for this. There are two reasons. One is it puts, of course, eases a lot of requirement on the deposit side, and we need to put less branches. We could even cut rates. So, you know, a lot of things happen there. Two is that in an era when everything looking so fantastic on credit cost front, we do want to warn ourselves again and again, trim off the edge, you know, the bottom edge. For example, if your score for letting a customer in is, let's make it up, I don't mean bureau score, I mean internal score. Suppose there's a score of 750 and there's a cutoff. You might say, okay, let's move 750 to 780 so that the marginal customer goes away. So we might tighten credit or, you know, all that kind of stuff. So the intention is more to slow this down in a way on a sustainable basis, this can compound for a long period of time. I know you might be a little disappointed 20 after, you know, I don't know if you're disappointed or not. You may be, I don't blame you for that. But trust me, even a 20 for compounded for a long period of time, especially when the operating leverage will open out from there and our OPEX requirement will be lesser, it may actually be a good strategy, a more sustainable strategy, and like that. For now, we have assumed this strategy. We could do slightly higher, God knows, maybe slightly lower, but think of us in that range as the intention at this point of time.
That answers very well. So yeah, so that is all, sir. If you want to have any closing comments,
closing comment. Really, I want it from you only. You can be honest with me. Are you disappointed about the 20, or are you okay with it? What would you think would be the feel of the house?
No, sir. It is not about, sir, being happy or disappointing. As you said, you are fairly right that if you want to, let's say, if this helps you in maybe more better filtering of the marginal customer, that is one. And of course, it will ease off some pressure on the deposits. It looks like, sir, at the system level, it looks like that to be the a narrative built up that suggests that, RBI or at system level, the system level, the growth needs to be calibrated a little bit. So I think that is in that direction, but nonetheless, sir.
You could say that, just to be honest, you could say that also, because there is a message from the regulator also to curb, exuberance. You could hear, public comments on this that exuberance does build up in good times. So we do think seriously about that. So this is the time to trim the marginal customers, and the slowing down from 25 to 20 also helps in that process. So it will be a more stable story. I hope, even if you're disappointed, hopefully you'll become a convert after some time of our line of thinking.
Sure, sir. Yeah, that is all from our side, participants. Thank you so much for joining. And thank you, management, for giving us the opportunity to host the call.
Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.